Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for November 18th, 2016. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Energized.
I like that. So, D.R., here we are into the first week of the never-never land called Trump land. It's been a tough ride for me. And I think for a lot of people, I want to talk about it, but a couple of things. I wanted to say that I think we're going to be talking about Trump a lot over the next, oh my God, 4 years.
If he lasts that long. Impeached first.
Everything that I say and you say is our own opinion. So first of all, if I say something stupid, I don't want it to be reflected on MCAN. And also I hope to be accurate in my statements, right? Because you don't want to get, I don't want to get worked up. But I have to admit that I'm still processing what I think about this. I mean, it's profound. Have you sort of come down and decided or where you are? Are you mixed? And I can wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh my God, this guy is president. And then I can't go back to sleep.
Well, my personal view is that I think it's time to set aside the sort of second guessing as to why, his opponent Hillary Clinton did not win. I think absent any hardcore evidence of election fraud, we simply have to conclude that, you know, things happen, flukes happen. It's not a guarantee, you know, on any given election day, any one candidate can beat any other candidate. But I think that now, in light of the agenda being promoted by Mr. Trump, those who oppose that agenda have a right to stand up and basically say, you know, this is not good for the country. This is not good for the planet. Mm-hmm. This is not good for future generations. This is not good for democracy. And that agenda will be resisted.
Well, and I guess I would just say it is telling how the Democratic Party progressives have accepted the process, right? Mm-hmm. I just guarantee you, if Donald Trump had won the popular vote but lost the Electoral College, we would have gunplay in the streets, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it would not be the sort of acceptance of and respect for the process. But I just come back to the question, and I tend to agree with you that the time is time to not time to get into a circular firing squad and, worry about each other. But just personally, I will admit that this is a tough go. It's just I'm so distraught. I didn't realize how deeply, for my money, you see the democracy that you loved be, I almost feel like, you know, it's being molested. Like Donald Trump, you know, grabs people in their private parts. I feel like the country is just being abused by a guy who is, it goes without saying, everyone said it. He's unbelievably incompetent, and here he is. Mm-hmm. He's going to be calling the shots. So I guess I am trying to process these things, and I hope that the people listening are processing, and I guess I reserve the right to change my mind as we go along and sort of go back and forth because but I guess it, so having said all that kind of thing, I think that what I've seen is that it is important that the American public not take this, not accept what is happening as a normal functioning of democracy. Right? Mm-hmm. For my money, this is sort of proto-fascism. This is a strong man who does not respect constitutional norms. And you can't kind of, like Governor Baker in the paper this morning saying, oh, well, we need to see, give them time to see what they're up to. I mean, I already know what they're up to, right? I mean, people need to not, to continue to remind themselves that this is not normal. This is something that John Oliver did in his TV show on Sunday night. Did you see that show at all?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, he's saying, you know, don't go back to sleep, right? You can't do that.
You have to stay woke, as they say.
Stay woke, as Governor Deval Patrick said, right?
Exactly. And in terms of resisting the normalization of things, Senator Ed Markey has a saying, don't agonize, organize. You see people organizing against, the agenda of Mr. Trump. They're organizing against for example, the climate change denier and avowed white supremacist Stephen Bannon, who was named recently as Trump's basically chief strategist, sort of his Karl Rove, essentially. People are basically demanding that this guy go because he represents a level of extremism and ugly bigotry that has not been a presence in the White House in decades. You read back I think the last time. I remember reading about the Nixon administration, some of the open bigots he had running around with him. But I think not since Nixon have you had this level of sort of, cruelty towards large segments of the population as embodied in Mr. Bannon.
I completely agree. I mean, he is an example of one of these excesses that can't be allowed to stand. And, who knows if he will resign, but you cannot accept the fact that a man like this is in the White House. So,
and history has shown that when people stand up, things can change. I mean, I do think that Trump is pretty stubborn, but if you look going back to the Nixon administration, there were two judges that Nixon tried to nominate for the United States Supreme Court who had long, long records of open white supremacy.
Oh, really?
And the people resisted the appointments of those justices, and Nixon ultimately pulled them. Now, we ended up with Judge William Rehnquist and Judge Lewis Powell, who were no prizes in their own way. But nevertheless, we avoided far worse.
Well, I guess the as I say, this is sort of a processing in real time for me. But I would the question that I pose to myself is, what should a climate hawk be doing in the current environment? What should a person who cares about the climate issue face with this catastrophic thing that is Donald Trump? What should you do? And it seems to me there are two prongs to the whole thing. One is to clearly identify climate-related issues and fight like heck, as somebody might say, right? As Pollyanna might say, when you got the law, fight, argue the law. When you got the facts, argue the facts. When you don't have either, argue like hell, right? So a guy like Myron Ebel, however you pronounce his name, he needs to be stopped, right? So that's one thing that climate hawks can do. But it's my impression, I'm interested in your opinion, is that climate hawks, the climate movement all by itself, cannot turn back the evil tide of hatred that Donald Trump represents. We can't do it ourselves. So you must build alliances with other progressive movements, right? The Black Lives Matter movements, the Native Americans in the Dakota pipelines, women, sanctuary cities, all these things then become an alliance, because a win for Black Lives Matter is a win for the climate movement, because it blunts, this monster that's in the White House, right? Would you agree with that? Is that what a climate hawk's role is now?
I would agree that you're seeing a unification of climate groups with other civil rights, environmental justice, women's rights, racial justice groups all coming together, all forming, I think, the Bob Marley line, the five fingers that close into a fist, basically. And I think it has shocked a lot of people who did not think you would see this level of organizing and level of focus on the part of these various rights and justice groups. I mean, I'm reminded of the famous Admiral Yamamoto line about having awakened the sleeping giant and filling that giant with a terrible resolve. It's like the election. It's like the election of Trump has sort of awakened a lot of people who were, we have to be honest here, being somewhat complacent. If you remember about flaws of Secretary Clinton and flaws of various other elected officials, there is this sort of luxury of belly aching, and that luxury is completely gone now. Now people realize who their enemy is, and they realize they have to defeat that enemy.
Without going into the whole question of whether or not we were fooled to be surprised by this win, I mean, that's a book in and of itself. I guess I would say the other point, though, and it's a point that John Oliver made in his show the other night, which I thought was quite good, is that you just can't go with clicktivism, right? You can't just post Facebook memes about how rotten Donald Trump is. You need to actually donate money to your favorite cause, get out on the street, put you, you know, not to get arrested, but to be part of a, to be part of the physical effort that you need to call your congressman. I mean, it turns out that I guess Charlie Baker's phone in the Massachusetts State House got about rung off the hook with calls for him to keep Massachusetts a sanctuary, you know, a welcoming state, and he came out and said it, right? But I mean, it's important that people, you know, it's not going to be easy. I mean, it's going to be 4 years of hard work, I guess, as John Oliver would say, right?
And again, you know, as I said, the people united can never be defeated. I do wish that the people had been united before being defeated. But now that they have been defeated, they're going to make sure that they're not defeated again. And that'll be very interesting to see over the course of these 4 years.
I agree. I hope so. I mean, so questions come as to what, you know, the concrete things you can do in your town. And we've spoken last week how the how state level action becomes the where all the action is, so to speak, literally, because the federal side is going to freeze up into lawsuits, right? That's going to be I mean, you, of course, we always talk about MCAN as being doing stuff in your local town, right? Building clean energy systems in your town. But there's all kinds of local actions across the state. I mean, it's, you know, people should seek those out. And I mean, I would, at this point, I'm happy to say seek out anything, right? Even if you don't, your climate's not your most important thing. I mean, you need to be in the public sphere to reject the level of violence, I think, that may come. I mean, we live in a suburb of Boston. There's an acquaintance of mine who happens to be black. He got his car vandalized, right?
Wow.
And it's like, oh, my God, this happened here? It's just, I don't know. It's terrible.
But, again, history has shown that activism can lead to change. I mean, you know, remember all the activism in the streets in 1969, 1970 that led to changes in laws affecting the environment, all the activism around the Iraq War that, although it didn't stop the war from beginning, it ultimately led to those who orchestrated the war sustaining severe, severe political consequences.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you know, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it sooner or later bends towards justice. Might take a bit longer than we expected, but it's going to get there.
Well, I guess I would invite anyone listening to this podcast to go to the blog, it's massclimateaction.org, and you know, offer your suggestions about how to process this information, how to be a climate hawk in this new era where this, where you know, it seems most of the high level progress may be stunted by the Trump administration. How do we, you know, what do you do? How do you think about it? I mean, I think that's the most important question, is what's your mental stance? What do you think about it, and how do you consider it? Is Trump somehow now all powerful? You can't react? No.
Mm-hmm.
What is the what attitude do you take into the fight, and where do you do the fight? Anyone who's listening who's got an opinion, please go to the website. We'll try and share them.
And I can think of one thing that people can do. They can demand more and better media coverage and basically push back against the mainstreaming of some of these extreme figures. I mean, there's been a huge controversy. Media Matters has cited it about NPR trying to sort of, shall we say, cleanse the record or cleanse the white sheet being worn by Mr. Bannon in terms of some of the recent.
You want your hood to be nice if you go on NPR, right? You want your KKK hood to be clean.
And why would argue that for people who, you know, why would argue that there are alternatives to NPR that are a bit more accurate? If people do decide to stick with NPR, they might want to make their voices heard and let their ombudsman know and let people know that they don't appreciate trying to declare that which is extreme to be mainstream.
Absolutely. So don't know, Dio. We will. I have a feeling we will return to this topic again. But the I guess the take home message is that, or the question for the week is, what does climate activism mean in the era of Trump? I submit it means climate action, direct and aggressive support of allied progressive movements. And that means not just clicking on your Facebook page, but actually doing something. And
making sure the news on Facebook is real, too. Yeah, that's something sure that makes me push back against.
Unbelievable stuff. So, I don't know, Dio. We'll put up links to some of the stuff we talked about, although a lot of this was philosophizing. we'll put it up on the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. As I say, please tell us how you're processing all this. You can find us on Facebook at /massclimateaction. That'll lead you back to the blog. Please share us so other people can hear the show. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. You, can, of course, can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Podbean. You can find us on Overcast. So we'll close. I won't even say that where we always close. I'm going to say we're going to close where we now close, which is to say that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as American citizens to speak out. We must insist that the citizens of the United States object to Donald Trump's hatred and that the U.S. put a price on carbon. So, DR, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you back. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.